Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Friday, May 3rd. Today, we're hearing from marketing and events specialist Christina Pritchett about a recent event all about passenger trains in Colorado. Before we begin, we're excited to introduce Pine Melon, Denver and Boulder's community grocery app. Get fresh, locally sourced foods delivered to your door at fair prices. Enjoy the convenience of farm-to-table groceries at home. Free same-day delivery saves you time while supporting local producers. Use promo code ColoradoSun for $50 off your first order. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. In 1987, the Miami Herald's expose on Colorado Senator Gary Hart's affair ended his presidential bid and shifted the dynamic between politics and journalism in the U.S. Previously overlooked by the press, politicians' personal indiscretions were now prime targets. This began with Hart underestimating the media's eagerness to expose public figures post-Watergate, which led him to daringly challenge reporters. They responded by uncovering his relationship with a younger woman, documented on a yacht appropriately named Monkey Business. The ensuing scandal not only derailed Hart's campaign, but also redirected journalistic pursuits towards uncovering political sex scandals. Hart left his Senate seat, but still engages in politics, advocating for robust foreign policy. Before we continue, nominations are open for Colorado's Best 2024. As Colorado Sun listeners, we want you to select your favorite businesses, organizations, individuals, and nonprofits across the state. Nominate today by visiting coloradosun.com/colorados-best. Nominations close May 22nd. Next, our feature story.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Daily Sunup podcast. Happy Friday. Thank you for spending a little bit of your day with me before kicking off your weekend. My name is Christina Pritchett, and I'm the Marketing and Events Specialist for the Colorado Sun. I'm really excited to be back here with all of you sharing some clips from a recent event called Are We On Board? The event had our environmental reporter, Michael Booth, and he sat down with RTD's general manager, Deborah Johnson, and Front Range passenger rail director, Andy Carsian, and they discussed the future of trains and talked about whether there could be a potential tax vote, the process of how passenger rail comes to the state, how much this venture could cost, and much more. I'm going to play you a couple clips from the event. And when you're done, if you want to check out the entire event, I highly recommend doing that. So the first clip is when Michael Booth asked Andy Carsian and Deborah Johnson about funding to produce a study to show whether there would be ridership for this passenger train. And then there's an additional question where Mike asks Deborah Johnson about RTD's ridership numbers. So let's take a listen.
I think what we are doing right now is we are out there talking to the folks and we're talking to the citizens. Yes, this is going to be an expensive project. To build out a passenger rail system along the Front Range will cost a lot of money. I'd also argue the cost of not doing this is going to cost a lot of money. And the citizens and the constituents in the district are going to pay thousands upon thousands of dollars for sitting in traffic. You know, we pay for our roads in Colorado. It's an ongoing thing, and we don't pay. We subsidize the roads in Colorado. We build up, you know, we don't pay enough for that, and we pay on an ongoing, I was just talking to my son who wants to buy a car. He's a junior in college down here in Denver, and he wants to buy a car. And we were talking about what that expense is, and we were looking it up and figuring it out. And generally, it's around, you know, $1,000, $2,000 a month in order to operate a car, depending on how frequently you're using it and what happens. So his generation and a lot of other folks, as I mentioned, are willing to pay for another option to where they don't necessarily need to have a car in order to make these connections, whether to college or to other markets.
So, Deborah, I'm wondering what you're thinking as you listen and the other meetings that you're listening, where you're sitting here with a large train network already built at your disposal, the disposal of millions of riders in the Denver metro area. What will you tell Andy, or what do you tell him in these meetings and the board about ridership questions? You've talked about how special events You've been very impressed with RTD and optimistic about how things like the Taylor Swift concerts bring a huge number of people on trains and on buses, and that you know shows where RTD might do better. But on the everyday trip at 8:30 in the morning from Denver Tech Center to downtown Denver, RTD has not been as successful, and every transit agency in the country has struggled with this, getting those trains full. What are you telling the board about what to think about ridership and how to anticipate whether people will actually show up and pay for a fare?
Thank you for that question, Mike. It's a good one, and it's something that I contend with on a daily basis. Having been in this public transportation space for 32 years, when I was coming of age in this industry, I learned that we were only good as our last rush hour. Well, recognizing the adverse impacts of the pandemic, a rush hour is not what it used to be. We don't have that peak of what I was accustomed to, say, in certain areas when I worked in D.C. from, 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning, or when I was in San Francisco, the Greater Bay Area. And so basically, we are looking at delivering service in a different way, recognizing the adverse impacts of COVID has brought about remote work. And so while we traditionally would be bringing people into a central business district during those peak hours, be they, 4 to 7 or 4 to 9, consistent upon what geographic region you are in, and returning people in the evening from 3 to 7 or 4 to 8, consistent upon where you reside. Those aren't happening. However, what I will say is that I'm a prime believer as it relates to public transportation. It's interwoven in the fabrics of the communities that we serve, and that people need mobility options to live their best lives. And while we can provide mobility options to activity centers to garner opportunities, be they at sporting event venues, be it at a place of employment, we have to be flexible and agile, and I'm a firm believer about providing value over volume, because that's what's going to have help to dictate what we would qualify as ridership, because you hit the nail on the head. If, in fact, transit agencies were looking universally at that as a sole metric, then everyone around the globe has failed abysmally as we talk about ridership, because we have changed from where we were prior to the pandemic, and I am a person who is data-driven, and so when I look at stats, I look at trends, and over the past 3 years, we are trending in a favorable position.
The second clip is with Michael Booth asking Andy Kersian if there could be a new tax that residents would have to pay, and how much this could be, and just the process of that. So let's take a quick listen.
They would have to pay a new tax, right? Because we're talking about an entire corridor. We're not just talking about a Northwest Rail. What they voted on before was an RTD ballot measure question for fast tracks. That money, as Deborah mentioned, it has been in a savings account and is being, saved for those purposes as dedicated and approved by the voters. The exciting thing that I'm really jazzed about is the idea of being able to leverage those dollars, put those dollars onto that corridor where they have been meant for, in addition to the money that will create the opportunity for this. Without the Front Range Passenger Rail and RTD partnership, we aren't going to be able to be successful in delivering an entire region a new option for this transit, this holistic transit delivery. It's not just about the Front Range or the Northwest Rail. It's about delivering an entire project that helps Northwest Rail, that helps Denver to Colorado Springs, brings it down to Pueblo. All of that is what we're talking about. So yes, they approved the first part of it, which we can build out and dedicate those dollars that are in existence and being held, and then augment those with the new dollars in order to build out an even better system.
So Mike, if I may just clarify, recognizing that the Fast Track Investment Savings Account that was established by the RTD Board of Directors, as I said in my initial response, there are 4 projects that have yet to come to fruition. I would be remiss to not state that that is up to the RTD Board to decide how those dollars are allocated. So it's not a fait accompli that those monies would be allocated to the Northwest Corridor unless the board determined that.
I highly encourage you to head over to our YouTube channel. And if you're already listening to this on YouTube, head over to The Future of Trains in Colorado. The speakers mentioned so much great information that we can't put into one whole episode. So definitely head over there and take a watch or listen. If you're interested in attending virtual and in-person events with the Colorado Sun, we have a lot of great ones on the horizon, including an in-person event at the University of Denver, recapping the 2024 legislative session with our politics team, and a virtual event about mental health coming up in June. And be on the lookout, SunFest 2024 is returning in September. To sign up for our events, please visit coloradosun.com/events. And thank you so much for joining me today. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado air pollution control officials are fining a cement plant in Boulder County another $1.3 million for fugitive dust and emissions. These fines come atop earlier fines for previous years and as county regulators ask operators of the plant near Lyons to show cause why it should be allowed to stay open. The new $1.3 million penalty is for violations in 2022 and 2023. About $835,000 of the penalty will go toward environmental justice programs in neighborhoods disproportionately impacted by pollution, the state said, and the rest will go to the general fund. On-the-ground help for ranchers in Grand County to fend off wolves is on the way under an agreement with the local ranchers and the Colorado Department of Agriculture. The state said it will spend $20,000 on non-lethal deterrence, including nighttime patrols and herd protection in a region where two wolves have killed six cows and one wolf is thought to be pregnant or with pups. The money can be used on ranger rides, but some in the area have concerns about the efficacy of range riders who are used in other states with wolves. After nearly 40 years of fighting, Texas investors are celebrating a rare win in their plans for a 1,700-unit village next to Wolf Creek Ski Area. Last month, the U.S. Court of Appeals affirmed the Forest Service's approval of a road accessing the island of private land atop Wolf Creek Pass off Highway 160. Red McCombs, who died in 2023 and previously owned the Denver Nuggets, started plans for the area in 1986. His daughter runs the empire now, and one investment official said having the road access opens the door to start studying the possibilities again. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now a quick message from our team.
This is Michael Booth.
And this is John Ingold. We cover health and climate here at the Colorado Sun.
Every week, John and I work together to send out a newsletter to our premium members called The Temperature.
In this newsletter, we share our latest reporting about health and climate and how they intersect, issues like forever chemicals, healthcare's rising costs, and the lingering effects of the pandemic. The Temperature is one of our weekly newsletters available to members at the premium level.
To sign up, head to coloradosun.com/join. Not only will you be able to sign up for The Temperature and our other premium newsletters, but you'll be supporting the Colorado Sun as a member, and thanks for doing that.